one behind. I'm recording now. Hallelujah. So, this is the month of February. How many of you know that? Okay, I think we're good. It's the month of February. And guess what happens in February?
Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day. Groundhog Day? We need a little bit of sunshine, don't we? We need a little bit of Super Bowl. That was the wackest Super Bowl I think I have ever seen. I don't know if any of y'all watched that, but that was just whack. The commercials were horrible except for one. There was one commercial that I thought was just legit. And that was the one, the 100, where all the football players are in this banquet hall. And they were like, fumble! You know, that was so awesome. I was like, that would have been cool if I was there, but I'm not a football player or in a Hall of Fame or anything. I'm just in the Lamb's Book of Life. Come on, somebody. All right, so today we are going to be starting a new series called Realms of Love. Realms of Love. In the 4 weeks of February, we will break down the passage, Matthew 22, 37 through 40. And it says, love the Lord your God with every passion of your heart, with all the energy of your being, and with every thought that is within you. It says, this is the great and supreme commandment. And the second is like it in the importance. You must love your friend in the same way you love yourself. Contained within these commandments to love, you will find all the meaning of the law and the prophets. So tonight, I want us to answer the question, what is love? That is what my title is going to be tonight. What is love? But before we dive into this question, I want to explain the series title. Come on. Nope. Realms of Love.
Why Realms of Love?
I'll explain it. But give me a second. Let's try this again. All right, here we go. Realms of Love. What comes to your mind? I'm asking you the question. What comes to your mind when you hear the word realms? Somewhere else? Going what? Going to multiple places? Different? Anything else? Realms. What you got for me?
Heaven.
He said heaven. Come on, somebody. What else? Come on, somebody. Keep feeding me. What you got? Anything? Portals. What? She said portals. What? Spreading love. Realms of love. What does realms mean? Are you got a question back there or no? All right. Realms of love. So when I hear the word realm, I think, and I'm going to use some really nice Christianese words for y'all, and I'll explain it. All right? If you don't understand, just give me a look like, what in the world he's talking about, and I'll explain it. That's how we're going to do this. All right? So, when I think of the word realm, I think kingdom atmosphere. I think kingdom domain. Do y'all know what those words are? Atmosphere? Knights? Oh, I don't know.
Like with a K.
Oh, like knights.
Yeah, like
knights in armor. Knights in armor, I like that. Makes me think of, what's that one movie with Heath Ledger?
A Knight's Tale.
Oh, I love that movie. Praise the Lord. That is an awesome movie. That movie actually made me want to be back in that time just so I could joust. But anyways, kingdom domain. And so, who in here plays video games? She said Fortnite is not a video. I've never played Fortnite, so I don't even know what it looks like. I just know I always try to do that one dance move, and I just do horrible at it. If Cameron was here, he'll be doing it for me. Cameron, we miss you. Hopefully you're listening to this later. So I know that different levels in some video games are called realms. Have any of y'all ever seen that? I know one game, I'm not sure if they do that in... Sparrow the Dragon, that's one of them. Spiral, I don't know. Which one I'm thinking about? What? Final Fantasy? Minecraft, that's the one I was thinking about. But there's one more. Halo, is it called Halo? Do anybody play Halo anymore? Or is that out, or is that out of date? Do they call it realms in Halo? It's not, she said it's not, I got a Halo. Can you see my Halo, Halo? Wait. Hey, hang on. Beyonce ain't got nothing on me. But anyways. She said it is a game, it is a thing. Does it say realms? Does it talk about realms in Halo? That doesn't matter. But anyways, but I want us to think much higher than video games. I want us to think much higher than Earth. I want us to think much higher than ourselves at the moment. Can we do that for a minute? So let's imagine the kingdom of God. Let's imagine heaven. Let's just imagine heaven for a minute. The place that God rules and reigns. He has his throne. If you look at any kingdom, if you look at any castle, any king, any queen, they sit on a throne. Jesus and God also sits on a throne. It actually says, which I love that we were, that song, So Alive, I love that song, because it actually says, and I'm going in a different direction, but I'll come back, I promise. It actually says that in our praise, he's enthroned upon our praises. And so when we praise God, I feel a preach coming on. When we praise God, he actually sits down on our praises. Come on, somebody. That means when we lift him high, when we lift him high, he goes higher. He is magnified in our imagination, not in our imagination, in our mind, our hearts, our spirits. He is magnified. Magnified means he becomes bigger. All right, let's go back into this. So when we talk about the realms of love, it's not just a natural earthly love. It goes much deeper than that. The love that God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit gives is a supernatural love. Somebody say supernatural love. What is the word supernatural? Do you know what that word is? Abby, you know what that is? It's not a TV. I'm telling you, that TV show, I watched it once and I said, that is not of God. Anyways, supernatural. What? You might think they look all good. I think I look a little bit better, but it's all right. She said it's above natural. I like that. I like that. But a supernatural love, say supernatural love. And the love that Jesus and God, the love that God gives oozes out of him. And when we are connected, you remember how we were talking about line of communication last month? When we are connected to God in prayer, into our life, when we make him first in our life, and when we put him a part of our life, come on, somebody. The love that he has that oozes out of him begins to come inside of us and oozes out of us. Are y'all catching that? I feel a preach coming on. Somebody help me. Well, we haven't forgot that, have we? Well, okay, y'all are getting it. It's all right. So now let's answer the question, what is love? Somebody tell me, what is love in your definition? Hold on. Do y'all want to talk on a microphone? She going to tell us. Don't ruin my... Oh, you were going to take it around. Okay. I was about to say, Francis, don't take my whole message. Anybody want, what is love? Tell me, what is this question? What is the answer, the definition of love? Go for it.
She never fails to give me pizza rolls.
Come on, yeet.
That's love.
Because pizza rolls are legit.
Word.
Anybody love? What is love? You know, can I have y'all do something for me in the back row? Come up for me. I love you all so much. And we are a family, and we are going to be connected as a family. We're going to be close. We're going to be intimate. Y'all, if y'all want to come back, come up here. Y'all can, because I'm controlling everything here, so it's good. If y'all want to stay back there in the sound booth, it's cool. But everybody else, come on, Angel. Come on, bro. Come on up here. Come over here. I'm sorry. Zoe, come sit up here by Zoe. You want to say one more thing? All right, let Devonna say one more thing, and then Abby's going to say something.
Going out of your way to make sure someone else is happy.
Boo, I like that. I like that. Going out of your way to make sure somebody else is happy. What is love?
Telling people about God and how he loves other people.
Don't even That's a part of I'm going to get there, okay? Don't mess up the message.
Love is a verb.
I got it down to a science right now. Don't mess me up.
Okay, give me a second.
Go for it.
Unconditionally caring for someone with no boundaries.
Oh, I like that. Did y'all hear that?
Yeah.
Unconditionally, say it louder in the microphone for us, please. Come on, darling, come on.
Unconditionally caring for someone beyond no boundaries.
I like that. Did y'all catch that one that time? That is real good. Anyone else? Anyone else?
I have Serenity wanted to say something.
What is love, Serenity?
Putting someone else's needs before yours.
I like it. Yes, I love it. What, you got something, Abby? Or did she just take it from you?
No.
I don't remember what I was going to say.
It's all good. Now, we're going to go for it. So, first off, this is very, very big in everything that you do. Love is a choice. I'm past you now. I'm sorry. I love you, but I'm past that. Love is a choice. Yeah? It's described as an emotion a lot of times, but in the end, it's a choice. Let me give you an example. I love my wife. I love my family. Yes, it can be an emotion, but emotions can fail. And I will tell you this how. Sometimes I don't like my wife. Sometimes my wife doesn't like me. Sometimes we get angry at us. At the time, our emotions will say, we don't love this person anymore. But emotions lie sometimes. But love is a choice. Because even though I might be mad at her, even though she might be mad at me, she is still going to put my needs before hers, and I'm still going to put my needs before her. Before my needs. I'm going to still put her needs before mine. Lord, I am screwing that up. No matter. She's probably going to listen to this later. I'm going to tell her to go back and listen to it. But anyways, no matter what the circumstance is in our relationship, we know that we love each other by the way we act towards each other. Just because we're mad, we're not going to go talk bad about each other. Why? Because we actually love each other. I know some couples do that. Lord, forgive y'all in the name of Jesus. But love will not go and talk bad about someone else. That is the choice of love. You do love him. Love is a choice. Here's another thing. Love does not run out. I'm still talking about... Come on, I love that song. I love that song. I actually might do that Sunday night. But love is not going to run out. And I'm still talking about marriage here, all right? I know none of y'all are married right now, but when you get older, you're going to fully understand this. They are married. I'm talking about the young ones. I know y'all are married. I know you're married.
They're young. I'm calling them old.
They are actually older than I am, so. But anyways, check it. Check it. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. Here's the thing. Love. I'm still talking about me and my wife. Just because she's mad at me, I'm not going to run off on her and do something that I'm going to regret. Why? Because in the end, I love her, I choose to love her, and I'm going to stay in that place of love. Even though my emotions are going crazy, I choose to love. I choose not to do something that is going to completely hurt her. Yeah? All right. So love, you ready? Is a verb. Somebody tell me, what does a verb mean? We're taking a verb. Say that in the say. Come on, girl. It's a verb.
It's an action.
Okay.
It's an action.
She doesn't want to say it on the microphone. It's all right. Love is a verb is an action. So if love is a verb, what does that also mean? Love is an action. Oh, come on. What? We're going to stick with the action part. We're going to stick verb is an action. That means love is an action. Yeah? Yeah? So when you say, you ready? I love you. There is an action involved. Because if you just say, I love you, it is empty words. Y'all catch that? When you just say, I love you, it is empty words. Why? Because love is a verb, and verb means action. So love means action. All right, so Romans 12, I'm not going to read it today because there's a lot of other scripture I want to go through. Romans 12, who's got their phone? Who's got their pads? Romans 12, I want you to write it down because this is something that I want you to go home and read for yourself. Check. Romans 12, remember that. Because in Romans 12, it talks about us loving in action and what it looks like. And I encourage you to go read it because I'm just reading what I got right here. So 1 Corinthians 13 is also known as a love chapter. How many of you have actually ever read 1 Corinthians 13? I love the book of 1 Corinthians. I love it. It is amazing. Paul did a great job in writing it. Next slide. 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to start with verse 1. It says, remember, we're talking about loving in action. You ready? If I were to speak with eloquence in earth's many languages and in heavenly tongues of angels, yet I didn't express myself with love, my words would be reduced to a hollow sound of nothing more than a clanging cymbal. Yeah. Verse 2. And if I were to have the gift of prophecy with the profound understanding of God's hidden secrets, and if I possess unending supernatural knowledge, and if I had the greatest gift of faith that can move mountains, but have never learned to love, then I am nothing. Verse 3, and if I were to be so generous as to give away everything I own to feed the poor and to offer my body to be burned as a martyr without the pure motive of love, I would gain nothing of value. We're talking about action. That sounds like there's a whole bunch of actions, right? And that seems like that's them showing love. But this is the thing. Love takes more than words, and sometimes it takes more than action. Sometimes it takes more than action. What do you mean, Pastor Joshua? I'm going to tell you. When you are loving, when you are showing, when you are saying that your actions are love, what are your motives? What are your motives? 1 Corinthians, these first three verses, they're talking about all these different things, which is awesome. They're speaking in different tongues. They are know all the hidden, the profound prophecies. They all know all the hidden secrets. That's awesome. But sometimes love goes beyond action because if your motives are not right, then there's no love in it. If your motives is not right, that means you're just doing it for yourself to get recognition, to get fame, to get possessions, and that ain't right. Check that. Yeet. So, is it just to make us look better? Again, is it just for us to say we did this? Is it just so we can have a picture on a billboard, on a wall, or something? The question we have to ask ourselves when we are doing actions out of love is, what is my motive? Am I doing this out of pure love? Am I doing this out of the truth of love? Am I doing this with a sincere heart? Your actions of love, are you doing it with a sincere heart? So when you are loving people, when you're doing things for people or even for yourself, is it with a sincere heart or are you doing it just to get recognition? Because if you're doing it for God to try to get recognition, let me tell you something already. He already recognizes you. He already sees you. He already loves you. You don't have to do anything to try to gain his attention because you've already got it. Yeah? Let's keep reading. Verse 4. Love is large and incredibly patient. This is so big. Because sometimes, who in here would say they have lots of patience?
No.
She said, no. There are some of you who says, let me tell you. Hey, trigger it. Holster it. Is that what it is? Oh, I said it wrong. Oh, I need to go back to MYC. Lord, help me. #BlackSquad. But anyways, patience. I can tell you right now, God has given me a lot more patience, but there's times where I'm just like, Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. So, here we go again, talking about our things that we do. We're doing things, but sometimes we might not get it, do it, people might not do it the way we want to, you know, want it to be done, right? Have you ever experienced that? When you're trying to do something, there's a big crowd or a big group that's helping you out, and you're like, they ain't doing it the way I want. You know what? Get out of my face. Just move on. Love is gentle and consistently. Say consistently.
Consistently.
Kind. Love is patient. Love is kind. It refuses to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else. It refuses to envy. It refuses to get mad when God chooses to bless somebody a certain way and you're not feeling like you're getting blessed that same way. I've got a story with that. God just put on. So, check this. When my parents were pastors, and they were pastors of this small church in a little small town. Actually, the town wasn't that small. It had a big university in it. It was a college town, but the church was small. And one of the members, they really didn't like my parents. And one of the members came into the church, and we were actually getting ready to go back home. And she pulls up, almost hits us while we were in a car. We got four of us chilling, two of my parents, in this car. We were riding like sardines because we were all squished in a small car. Lord help us. Thank you, Jesus, for financial breakthrough. But anyways, she rolls up, almost hits us, looks at my parents and say, "Get in the church." And we were like, uh-oh. And so they go into church, and she just rips my parents up and down, saying, "I don't like you this, and I don't like that your kids dress like this, and I don't blah, 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 and yada, yada, yada." That was jealousy of God blessing our family. She was envying everything that God was doing for our family and how God was blessing us. Because we did look good, even though we were driving in this small beat up car. We looked good most times. I was a hoodlum. Now I'm gonna tell you that I was a hoodlum. I was. There's actually a lot of stuff that's changed about me. If you knew me 6 years ago, I ain't even gonna go there. I ain't gonna even go there. But anyways, let's keep going. Love does not brag about one's achievements nor inflate its own importance. How many, the word boastful? Boastful. How many of you know what the word boastful means? How about big-headed? You know, something good happens to you, you got a trophy in something. Let me tell you, love doesn't brag about it. Love doesn't inflate its own importance. That was big for me, because let me tell you, when something happened to me, somebody said I did something good, let me tell you, I got big-headed. There was a time when I was leading worship in Texas at this church. When I first started going there, I was Joshua Black. I was the Joshua Black. I could sing, I could dance, I can't dance now, don't ask me to dance, because I look like I'm recording this, I ain't gonna say that on there. But anyways, this is gonna come and bite me in the backside if I said that. But anyways, I was this big head, I was this prideful, I flaunted it, because I knew who I was. People said that I was this, people said that, and it just bigger and bigger. And one day, one of my friends said, "You know, Joshua, I really don't like you." And I was like, "What?" He was like, "Because you're too prideful. You talk about yourself too much. You're too big-headed. You act like you're something, and you really ain't nothing." And that really hurt me. But we're still friends. Because, see, here's the thing. Love is truth. Love also speaks truth. But let's keep going. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect, nor selfishly seek its own honor. Love is not easily irritated. Oh, a quick take the fence. So, I know, oh, thank you so much. You can tell my mouth is this out of the... Yeah. We're going to invest in some bottle of waters because that stuff is nasty. But anyways, so ain't none of y'all, well, there are some of us who are millennials in here. Actually, what year were you born? I'm not going to say it online, but what year were you born? What year were you born? Were you born in 2000? She's a millennial. Millennials stopped in the year 2001. Millennials ended in the year 2001. So if you were born in 2001, you were still a millennial. And then after that is Generation Z, which y'all are the Tide Pods generation. But anyways. I hope none of y'all actually ate Tide Pods. Lord, if y'all had Tide Pods, I'm just saying that was the dumbest thing I had ever heard. Eating Tide Pods? What? Oh, don't even get me started on that. But anyways, millennials, let me get back to this. Millennials, I hope you ain't recording me. What you do? Well, I'm recording myself. Don't worry about it. Anyways. But love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. What time do I have? I have 7:36. I still got 30 minutes. Millennials, that generation took everything to offense. Why? Because they were prideful, boastful, and all that other stuff. We end at 8, right? What? We end at 8, yeah. So anyways, millennials, not all millennials are this way because I'm not. I'm not saying that y'all are this way because y'all are different. You're in the kingdom of God, so y'all are completely different. I'm not that way. You're not. I don't feel like you're that way. Oh my goodness. Don't throw your shoe at me. Holster, girl. But anyways, so millennials. There was this video that John Christ did. Not John Christ. What is that his name? Is that how you say it? Chris. John Christ. He did this whole video. Actually, it was not even him. It was somebody else that I was watching. He's funny, but it was some kid that had long blonde hair. I can't remember, but he did this whole video of millennials about how they take offense out of everything. They can't do this. They can't do that. They get irritated at everything because it ain't going their way and blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. Here's a big one right here, this next verse. Verse 6, love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in doing wrong. So let's look at that first one. Love joyfully celebrates honesty. So once somebody tells the truth out of love, for me, I will celebrate it. I'm going to celebrate it. If somebody comes to me and starts speaking truth to me and helps me out, helps me get corrected in my life, I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to be like, bro, sis, that was awesome. Well, I couldn't call everybody a bro. I'm not calling. I don't.
It's 2019. It's the norm.
I get called bro.
Yeah.
I get called
bro all the time.
Bro means boys. Sis means girls. We're going to leave it at that. Because let me tell you, love finds no delight in what is wrong. So I'm not going to call a girl a bro. Because let me tell you why. That's wrong. That's what's wrong with our generation now, and I don't celebrate that. The issue is that we are now celebrating things that's wrong, but love, true love, finds no delight in what is wrong. It does not celebrate. And I'm sorry if I step on some toes, but I'm going to be truthful with you. Same sex is not right. It's not right. It's sin. Flat out. It's not of God. And I don't delight in wrongdoing. But I will rejoice in honesty. Abortion is wrong. There is a lot about it going on right now. It is wrong. What New York just did was wrong. What President Trump just did was right. I celebrate that.
What did New York do?
New York just passed a bill where they can abort a baby up until full term. President Trump, and I can't remember the exact statement, but he just said life is important. He just stated that abortion is wrong. Life is important, and it is a gift from God. That is honesty. That is something we can celebrate. Let's keep going. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. I was listening to a message this morning, and it was talking about marriage, and it was talking about a lot of the issues with marriage these days. Thank you, Tracy. She's not even here. But anyways, it was such a powerful message. It actually convicted me a little bit. But it talked about the problem with a lot of marriages is that wife's husband has this expectation of what their spouse supposed to be. And so when their spouse doesn't meet this expectation, they're mad and they talk about them, they talk badly about them. And I might be screwing this up a little bit because I just listened to it this morning. I want to go back and listen to it because it was really good. And he said, the thing that we should do in our marriage, and I feel like this is even with friendship, is talk, believe the best for them. Believe the best for them. Even though they might not be the exact what you think they're supposed to be like, believe the best for them. One of the pastor that I was under in Libby, one of the things that he said was, in every person, it doesn't matter if they're rude, if they're ugly to you, whatever, find the Jesus in them. Find the Jesus in them. In other words, find the best in them. And don't just look at their faults all the time. Find the good. Love never takes failures as defeat, for it never gives up. So there are many times that we as humans fail to show true, pure love. Excuse me. There are things in this passage that convicts even me. Because this passage, I have to go back to this passage at all times to make sure that I am in check. If I am doing love right with anyone, with my family, with y'all. I love you all, but I gotta make sure that my love is in check. Am I loving you the way that you should be loved, the way that Jesus loves you? So when we look at this passage, this is so big. When we look at this passage, we see that there is only one person who perfectly fits it. One person, that is God. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God is love. Say that. God is love. One more time, say it. God is love. He perfectly demonstrates his love to us at all times. Even though you might not feel it, his love is patient. His love is kind. Let me go back. His love refuses to be jealous. His love does not brag. His love does not shame or disrespect. His love is not selfish. He does not get irritated. He is joyful and celebrates in good. His love is perfect. He is patient and kind to us when we fall. He only wants the best for us. His love is unwavering, never failing, never gives up. His love is unconditional. You know, years ago, Katy Perry wrote a song, Unconditional. I don't know if any of y'all have heard that. There was the chorus. I know it was she wrote it as a secular song, but it touched me on a spiritual level. It said, unconditional, unconditionally, I will love you unconditionally, something like that. But anyways, I took that as God was talking to me, that no matter what wrongs that I did, and let me tell you, I did a lot of wrongs. I did a lot of wrongs, but no matter, and I talk about this every single week because it is true, and I want y'all to really get that in your hearts. His love is unconditional. His love is never going to leave you. His love is never going to separate. It says, where is that at? That nothing can separate us from the love of God. That is actually Romans 8, isn't it? Nothing can separate us from the love of God. I could be wrong about that scripture. I think it's Romans 8. So I want to leave you with one more passage. And that's in 1 John 4. And it says, those who are loved by God, let his love continually pour from you to one another, because God is love. Everyone who loves his father is fathered by God and experiences an intimate knowledge of him. The one who doesn't love has yet to know God, for God is love. Come on, God is love. The light of God's love shines within us when he sent his matchless, his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. This is love. He loved us long before we loved him. He loved us long before we were even born. He loved us before the foundations of the earth was made. It was his love, not ours. He proved it by sending his Son to be the pleasing sacrificial offering to take away our sins. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. So when we understand God, we understand his love. We understand that God is love. When you spend time with him, going back to January series, line of communication, partnering with him, spending time with him, opening that line of communication, draw closer to him and he will draw closer to you. When you spend time with him and let him pour into you, let him pour his love over you and in you, you become more and more like him, which means you begin to show the same love that he shows. Are we catching that? So the key to loving is spending time with the one who is love. Because God is love. The supernatural love that God has begun to flow from you. What do I mean? We talked about that God gives a supernatural love, that it oozes out of him. It oozes red. Why do I say red? Because his blood. It oozes out of him, the love that he has for us. The love, you know, Jesus healed, he delivered, he taught from a place of love. It says all over in the Gospels that he was moved by compassion. That is love. And he taught. He fed the 5,000. He healed. He delivered. It was all out of a place of love. Here's the biggest thing of love. He died and rose again. Woo! I just want to shout on that one. That is the, oh gosh, shout out, I say. That is the biggest portion of his love. And let me tell you, here it is. He gave it to you. Bam. There it is. bam. All over you, all for you, all in you, all through you. God is love. And when you spend that time with Him, that love begins to pour out of you. So, when the question is asked, what is love? We can respond by saying, God is love. And when we spend time with God, with Jesus, you remember at the beginning when I first got here and we were talking of the series of This Is Me. And I said a phrase and I read a scripture and it said that we are co-heirs with Christ. So if God's love is in Jesus, then we also have that love. Are you catching that? So not only God is love, but when we are in Him, when we are living by Him and for His will, are you ready for this? We are love. Y'all catch that? God is love, and we are spending that time and we are in His will, we then also become that love. We become that light. We become that hope. Yeah? So, that's all I've got. It's 7:51. That is good. I did good. So, here's the thing that I want y'all to meditate on. The thing that I want y'all to chew on. Thing that I want you to think about the rest of this week. The fact that God is love. The fact that God loves you. And the fact that in that love, you can also show love to everyone else. Come back next week because there is going to be another portion that I'm going to share. Next week, I'm going to share on loving God. This week, we talked about God is love. Next week, we're going to talk about loving God. Amen? Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you and we bless you for tonight. Father, we thank you that you are love and that you have poured your love on each one of us, Father, and that you give your love unconditionally. Father, I thank you that nothing can separate us from your love. Not height nor depth, no width nor length, not angels, no demons, no anything, God. Father, but your love is strong. Your love is a place that we can run to and be safe. Your love is kind, it's patient. Father, your love is so big. And it so surrounds us. And Father, I thank you that your love is perfect. And it even says in your word that perfect love casts out all fear. So Father, when we are in your love, we don't have to fear because we are safe in that place. Your love is a strong tower. Says the righteous run into it and are safe. So Father, we thank you for your love. And Father, tonight I just ask that you fully show your love to each one of us as we go out, as we sleep, as we dream, Father, just show us your love. Give us the full revelation of your love. God, because oh, how we need more of it. Oh, how we need more of it. Father, we bless you and we honor you. We praise you, God. And Father, in our praises, you are enthroned. Father, for you are worthy to be praised. You are holy. You're different. You're separate. There's no other gods like you. There's no one like you, Jesus. And we bless you and we honor you in that place. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Y'all are awesome. I love y'all. And I will see y'all next week. For those who are coming to Bowling Wednesday, make sure you are here at 10, not Wednesday, I'm sorry, next Monday. Be here at the church at 10:30. And we will go in the van over to the bowling alley.